You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And wow, it's another beautiful day in the Jewish state. Brought to you by America's Web Radio. And I want to say thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. The truth about Israel and its greatness as she leads the world is number one in technology, agriculture, and medicine. What this country has done in 66 years is truly, purely a miracle. What the Jewish people have built. The Muslims didn't do it. The Asians didn't do it. The Americans didn't do it. The Russians didn't do it. The French didn't do it. The Europeans altogether could never do it. But it was only by the brains, the bronze, and the blood of the Jewish people that this country leads the way, is number one in the world. Wow. You can never fathom that if you've not studied the history of this country from 1948 on. It's good to know all of the history from Abraham to the current day. But if you study from 1948, pre-1948, during the British occupation of this land, up until today, it is amazing. Under the stress of war, the threat of death, and the call for annihilation, the Jewish people have created this great, great country. And that's why I'm here this evening in Tel Aviv, and actually in the suburb of Tel Aviv called Ramat Gan. It's where I live. And I'm here with some very special friends. Also want to say real quick thank you to everyone who listens to the radio show, who also are participators and not spectators in Hershey's for Heroes, where Americans are sending thousands of Hershey's chocolate bars with notes on them to the soldiers. We love you, we pray for you, we stand with you. I just got a box in from Great Neck, New York, from a bunch of kids there, school kids, who put notes on them, writing in Hebrew. American kids, and of course they're Jewish, and go to a school there. And I also just received some from a friend of mine in Florida, Debbie. Thank you, Debbie, for those Hershey's for Heroes. I still have to go and pick those up. But I want to say thank you to everyone that gives to Hershey's for Heroes. You will never know. You can never comprehend, unless you're tracking my Facebook page and my social media, the change in the countenance that it brings to a soldier. It starts in the heart and shows in the face when they see that note from an American, that they support them. I will put Hershey's for Heroes, and I'm thankful for all the other programs. Thank God for them. But that intimate personal note to a soldier that's cost effective and time efficient to put together. And I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking for money for Hershey's for Heroes. I'm asking for chocolate bars. Now, how many organizations ask for chocolate bars with notes on them? Everybody else is asking for money. Isn't that amazing? I'm just asking for... What's that?
It's all about love.
It's all about the love. It's all about the love. Insight to Israel brings you truth, and Hershey's for Heroes brings you love.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, moving forward. Wow, it's a beautiful night. The sun has already set. Darkness is coming on. We're here in Ramat Gan, and I'm here with some...
Next to the synagogue.
Next to the synagogue. What synagogue is that?
There are two.
Ma?
There are two synagogues.
Two synagogues. Do you know what they are?
One Ashkenazi and...
Do you know the name of them?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I'm here with some very special friends. First of all, I want to say thank you to two very good friends of mine, Iris Burrell. Everybody knows Iris. She's been on the radio show.
Thank you.
And Iris is going to be translating for us, and we're going to get to that. And May Rosenberg. And May's, both Iris and May have hooked me up with some fantastic people. And It's been, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I wish I could, I'm going to have to make dinner for both you ladies one night.
Thank you. I like it. Keep your promise.
I want to say, I think this is an interesting side note. Now, Iris, your mother is from Romania.
Right.
And your father is from Morocco.
Right.
And May, you're from Russia.
Right.
Mother Russia.
Whatever, Putler.
Putler. That's a mix between Putin and Hitler.
Yeah.
Well, and
you didn't know that?
No.
You didn't hear it from him?
So, you know, and then I have another gentleman who is...
the main one.
The center of attention here during the show, Alex. Alexander. Alexander's... You're from Russia, Alexander. Is that correct?
Alexander.
Huh?
Moscow.
From Moscow.
Alexei.
But were you born here in Israel?
No.
No.
Born in Russia.
In Russia. When did now
Soviet Union.
Let me ask you.
He was lone soldier.
You're a lone soldier.
He was lone soldier.
God bless you, brother. God
in
bless
95,
you.
95, right?
You got some.
You came in 95.
Do you know what's
okay. You came here
in 1995.
94.
In 94. Okay.
Yeah.
Just before the first Lebanon War.
Before
it was in 96, I think it was.
After the first one.
After the first Lebanon War. The reason why I have Alex here is Alex is currently serving in the reserves. And when he came from Russia, now I want to stop for a second. You were born here, Iris?
Yes.
Okay. Were your parents, both your parents, they met here, correct?
Yes, they met here.
Okay.
Of course.
But
where they met? She's from Morocco, well, she's from Romania.
You can, yeah. Right. That's common
only
sense.
Only in Israel.
I have sleep deprivation. Did your parents come directly from Morocco or were they born here?
They know they were born there.
They were born there and then they immigrated here.
Yeah.
Okay. In May? You were born here, right? No. You came here...
I also came in 93.
In 93. How old were you?
Doesn't matter. 17 or something.
17. Yeah. What was that like for you as a 17-year-old to come here to Israel, to leave?
Just teenage... I didn't feel that, you know... I became a patriot a little bit later.
You became a patriot later.
Yeah.
But I guess my question is... Is, you know, here you are, a teenager, 17, you've spent your teenage years, most of them, in Russia.
I'm going out.
And you develop friendships, relationships.
Yeah.
What was that like for you to come here and now you have to
Nobody
adjust
knows.
Yourself as an adult to a whole new situation? What was that like for you?
Very hard. Very hard. The first years, it was pretty hard. But
and why did your parents actually decide to make Aliyah?
They were Stalinists. They've been rejected by the Soviet Union.
Right.
In 79, the Soviet Union just rejected them to make Aliyah.
I just want to mention that between
1989.
Yes, and in 1905 something, there came like more than
one million
yeah, people
million
from Russia.
Russia.
It's
yeah,
after the Soviet Union
separated,
and they allowed people to leave the
country.
Land.
To
so
go out.
More than 1 million Russians came from in 4 years
to
Israel.
Since 1993 or 1994. Wow!
Yeah, and it just changed all the demographic of the Israel.
Yeah,
it
not many Russians here until then, and then suddenly, out of 7 million people, 1 million Russia. It's just
huge.
Yes, it just
huge.
Removed the economy very high, a lot of building, a lot of.
That's good.
Ashdod, it's kind of Russian city.
Yes,
big one. Most of them are Russians. It was actually built for the
right.
And you we call it Olim Chadashim.
New Olim.
New Olim. Right.
New Olim. Wow. Wow.
big neighbor of the national.
Amazing, amazing. So
1 million, just think about it.
That's a lot of people.
Russian speakers. You can see it everywhere, actually.
Yeah. That's a lot of people. That's a lot.
Also serving in the army.
And you have to understand that there were a very unique culture.
Yeah.
Unique culture. They were, because they came with a very huge group, so they didn't mix with the Israeli people very fast.
It took like more than
20 years now than they start
to assimilate.
Yeah. Assimilate the Israeli people and mix with them. They just were... they were sitting in huge groups. They were living in a Russian neighborhood, and they had and still have their own stores and shop and grocery shop and grocery stuff.
Yeah.
They import usually directly from Russia to eat what they like. And they have their own books.
Yeah.
And
culture, actually, it's more than... More about culture,
yes,
theater,
exactly.
The reading the books. We just brought the summer European culture.
Russian. Yeah, they have their own like Russian singer that come through and they perform with
everywhere.
Many people.
Every Yom Ha'atzmaut.
Every Independence Day.
Here in Israel, there are lots of singers, famous Russian singers, are coming, and the. Area.
The city.
Actually, Tel Aviv. Area.
City hall.
Yeah.
City hall.
It's paid for it.
Wow. Amazing. What a transition. So Alex, and there's a reason why we have Alex on the show today. Because we.
You already posted some of his pictures and.
Right. We posted some of Alex's. Pictures from in the tunnels, and supposedly right now there is a ceasefire, and supposedly Operation Tusik is over with, supposedly. And I didn't record earlier, and maybe I should have, but on the Red Alert, it's an app created by Israelis that you download to your phone or your pad. And it alerts you every time there's a rocket, and it tells you where that rocket comes from. We know it comes from the Gaza, but where it actually goes to. And the last hour
the whole day.
Nonstop. It's been nonstop rockets all over the country, from the middle of the country down to the south, in the cities around the Gaza border. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't some go down in the Negev desert?
In Irim, it's near where you've been.
Near Gaza.
Actually,
most of them near Gaza.
The Gaza Strip.
Okay. So, anyway, this is what's been going on all day. And then, actually, I did a recording this morning at about 6:30. I was up all night making phone calls to the States. And I got a video right over my apartment, like, I don't know, for the fifth or sixth time.
We saw it, yeah.
For some reason,
the Iron Dome is here in Ramat HaChiyar.
Ah, wow, by the way.
We need to take some Hershey's for Heroes over those soldiers.
I was just asking, where is it?
Yeah.
He said it to me today in some way.
We'll go visit there, the soldier with Hershey's.
Can. Awesome. So, Alex... is in the reserves. Now, once you do your mandatory 3 years as a male in the Israeli Defense Force, till the time you're, what, 45, you serve in the reserves?
He's 40.
How old are you?
Kamata?
He's 40 years old.
You're 40, but you serve in the reserves until you're like 45. So you constantly...
till the health...
And then while you're in the reserves, you go 1 month every year and you train. You keep your training up.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what the Israeli people have to go through. Now, bear in mind, this has been said on previous shows, but I think it needs repeating, that when you're a husband, a father, you have a family, you have a business, when you're called to the reserves, this interrupts every single life in this country.
Exactly.
I talked to an attorney. He said we're backlogged on cases. This guy just got married too. I remember I was down in Ascalon with over like 2,000 pizzas, and he's like, what can we do? Even their opposition, he's a prosecuting attorney, the defense attorneys, you know, they never get along. But they're like, you know, now they're, what can we do? We'll just have to put it off. It's unbelievable how it affects everything in this country. Ladies and gentlemen, you think 9/11, come on, America.
Nothing.
That's nothing. You people get all, and, you know, look, I'm going to get to my point here, but this needs to be said. America, I'm going to tell you, you're weak. You people are weak. You cry and sob, and we remember 9/11, and it needs to be done. But these people go through it every single day, just about.
Are you crying about Texas?
And all around this country, there are Muslims from within that are citizens, 20 Muslim citizens of Israel with more rights than the Jewish people, are now in Iraq fighting with the Islamic army. And this is what the Jewish people do. You give these savages freedom, and they'll still cut your head off. You had better stand up to Islam in the United States. You better fight against them and drive them out. Because you will end up like the Europeans, and you will end up surrounded like this country is. Anyway, that's my little soapbox. You know, these folks in the United States, some of them send me emails and are like, Michael, you're so harsh. You can't, it's so, you sometimes you're a little harsh.
The people are living some sort of candy land.
The candy land, that's exactly it.
Europe and America in some, I don't know, clue.
Clueless. Clueless.
Yes, I spoke with my friend that lives in Manhattan. He told me, listen, nowadays whenever I go in Manhattan in the towns around it, I see Muslims with their burqa. Said 1-2 years ago, I hardly saw them. So, yeah. And now I see them everywhere. It's scary. It's crazy.
It's scary.
And in New York.
You say you love New York Americans? You say you don't want another 9/11? I'm giving you fair warning. You'd better drive them out. You'd better round them up and drive them out. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so back to Alex. Alex, brother, I want to say thank you for your service to the country. God bless you. Alex is in the reserves. No, let me. I want to ask you. You came from Russia back in the early 90s. We're going to need a translator here.
Alita.
A little bit. 94.
And 94. How old? What? 17.
20.
Wow. What was that like to make that transition?
Very hard.
Very hard.
I don't know why, but for Russians, it was not easy. I don't know.
But here's the key to this. He came at 20 to be a lone soldier.
Yeah.
Why?
Wow.
Just escape from their army.
Yeah.
And his goal is to be a soldier here. This was his purpose.
The main purpose.
Wow.
Did you serve in the Soviet army?
Wow.
How long?
Short time.
ממש קצר לפני ששלחו אותנו לצ'צ'ניה אני הספקתי
before when they sent him to Chechnya he just escaped to Israel.
Chechnya was a bad now let me say this real quick.
The same Muslim
right here's the thing with Chechnya, a little update on history, okay? Chechnya is predominantly Muslim. The drug trade comes from Afghanistan,
right?
It's moved up into Chechnya, and then the drugs that come from Afghanistan, move through Chechnya, are dispersed into Russia and Europe. Now, the key to this is that money would go towards funding terrorism. Now, the reality is that the reason why the Chechen War was fought, why the Russians intervened in Chechnya, was because they weren't getting a piece of the drug trade money. They weren't getting a piece of that pie.
Yeah.
Now, also, remember, Russians don't like Muslims. But
we hope.
We hope. But at the same time, now actually, Russia is training Palestinian women.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I can't trust them. I'm a Russian. I don't trust Russia.
Video. Right. Right.
Video.
So right now you can find a video where the Russians are training Palestinian women to jump out of airplanes. And the Palestinians, the Russians in the Gaza, or the Muslims in the Gaza, one person at a time, the Muslims in the Gaza don't even have an air force. That's what makes it interesting. Now, Russia also funds Iran, Bashar al-Assad in Syria, and God only knows
all the enemies.
What other Muslim entity? So Alex left the Russian military right when he almost, it seems like, when he joined because of they were fighting the war in Chechnya. What did it take? Here's my question. This is amazing. What did it take for you? How did you get out of there? How did you just pack up? No one just packs up and gets out of the military.
You're right.
You had to have hidden or something. Or how did that work?
איך פתאום קמת, הרסת ונסעת, איך זה קרה?
איך יצאת מהצבא?
נגע,
צבא זה סיפור ארוך, זה סיפור מורכב בפני עצמו, אני אפילו לא רוצה לחזור על זה, אבל יצאתי, שילמתי כסף,
ויצאתי
זה שוחד לשלטונות, זה לא, זה שלטון הצבאי שהוא לקח בהתחלה שוחד כדי למקם אותי ביחידה מובחרת ליד הבית, אחרי זה הם קיבלו שוחד כדי לשחרר אותי. זה סיפור מאוד יש, זה פגע בעמק של אמא.
Wow, it's all about money there, okay? He just paid money first of all to people in the army to so he could serve near the house in a special unit, sorry.
Yeah.
After that, it's a bribe. So they paid money for people there in the army to let him go. He just had to pay a lot of money for everything that he wanted.
How much money in dollars?
כמה בדולרים?
2,500 בערך.
Wow, $2,500 each time.
Each time. And how many times?
הלוך וחזור. הלוך וחזור. נכנס ויוצא. 2,500 נכנס ליחידה. היא שילמה את זה.
כן.
מקמו אותי ביחידה ממש טובה. הייתי צלב.
וואו, היא was a sniper. אוקיי.
וכדי לצאת, שילמו לבית חולים שם צבאי, כדי להוציא אותי עם כל מיני מחלות בגוף.
אוקיי. For putting him in a special unit as a sniper, he paid $2,500 from the army. Then, take him out from the army, when he wanted to go out, he paid for the hospital, so they say that he had some issues in his body, and needs treatment, they paid the hospital another $2,500.
Wow. Wow.
This is how it goes there.
Wow.
And we are talking about 25 years ago. It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it was.
More than now.
So my question is, he paid to get in the snipers. Could he qualify as a sniper?
And you were trained as a sniper? I was trained as a sniper. I was many
years. No, as.
As, there in Russia?
Yes.
Yes. But he had to pay to get into the snipers.
And there is... Yes, it's hilarious.
Wow,
hilarious.
That's you, folks. You're hearing this. You won't get this anywhere else but Insight to Israel. Wow. Okay, so how did he, when he got here, what, did he just get on a plane and come to Israel?
He was working in a Jewish agency for many years in Russia.
In Russia.
Wow.
And in Israel.
Okay.
הייתי מנהל מועדון צעירים בסוכנות במוסקבה.
He was managing a youth club in Moscow.
Wow.
Okay.
And did he do this because he felt the Zionism, or how did he end up?
Because
he felt the Zionism. הייתי, אני מגיל קטן הביאו אותי ככה, אמא שלי ואבא היו אנשים אינטרנציונליים כאלה. הביאו אותי לכנסייה. אמרו, תבחר, כנסייה. היו שירים עצובים כאלה, לא בחרתי את זה. תקשיבי, הביאו אותי למסגד.
No, yo.
הסתכלתי על זה. לא, לא ממש. ובשמחת תורה הגעתי לבית כנסת. עכשיו,
אימא... Just a minute. Wow. His parents were international. So at the beginning, from when he was a little child, they brought him to a church. They told him to choose. He was going into the church, so they're singing and everything, and but he didn't so much
church.
A Christian church,
yeah,
and he didn't like it so much, so they took him and brought him to a mosque. So he went to this mosque and he,
wow.
And he didn't like, why didn't you like the mosque? But he did that, he did screaming five times a day.
לא הייתי שם חמש פעמים ביום, הייתי פעם אחת, אבל לא ראיתי אנשים ש...
He didn't like them dancing on the ground. He didn't like this. So, then they took him to the synagogue on Sukkot holiday. The holiday after Sukkot, when the Simchat Torah, the happy of the Bible, when you dance with the Bible after Sukkot, for...
And Sukkot...
For... This is the time when you... got the Bible.
When you got the Bible from Mount Sinai, the same holiday.
So they brought him to the synagogue in this time, and he saw it, and it was thrilling, right?
בנוסף לזה, לפני זה, אבא ואמא שלי עבדו בבית כנסת ראשי במוסקו.
His parents were working in a major synagogue in Moscow.
Wow. So even though they're Jewish, they'd still let him have a choice.
איך לשם מדען שיהודים נתנו לך לבחור?
כי זה חינוך סובייטי.
This is a Soviet education.
Wow.
It sounds free. Much free.
Wow. That's amazing. So
okay, רגע, והם הביאו אותך לשמחת תורה.
עוד לפני זה היו קטעים אנטישמיים מסביבי, אז לא הבנתי אותם אז.
ג'ודה. You know, in Polish.
זה שם כינוי כזה גס. ג'יד, הפולנים קראו ליהודים ככה. שמעתי את זה משכנים. אני ראיתי. אבא שלי היה מסורב עלייה.
זה בדיוק מה שקרה להורים שלי, שסירובניקים.
If he started to feel all this anti-Semitism behavior around him, they called him with the
Judah.
Yes, with just a Polish name, Judah or something that
Jit.
That it's a nickname for not liking the Jewish people.
Right.
And his parents were a refuser of Aliyah.
They refused to make Aliyah. They weren't allowed to leave Russia.
No.
78, 79, 80.
Only in 89.
Right.
In 1989,
right.
They let all the Jews to leave Russia, and that's why 1 million Jews just ran, escaped from Russia to Israel.
Wow.
Part of them, by the way, a lot of Russian, like more even than million, I guess, they left to United States.
Right.
Again.
At the same time.
Okay.
Yes. There is a big community, Russian community in
so,
the U.S. Jewish community.
Basically,
Jewish
to sum up, his parents are Jewish. They were very influential, had a lot of money.
Right.
He had the choice of what he was going to do, and he chose Judaism over Christianity and Islam. And we're going to move forward with this. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Wow, what a story. We'll be right back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back. This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. I have one word. Wow. Now, you've got... We're in translation, so bear with us, those that are listening. I hope that you, your mouth is watering, that your senses are enticed to hear what else I'm going to share with you, because before we came back on the air, Alex, we wanted to make sure we covered all the bases and got some all the history in, and it was very clear. and so I'm going to kind of summarize everything that took place in Alex's life. This is amazing, amazing, amazing. So Alex's father worked for the government, and it was secret. And his father helped design and develop a mechanical arm that lifts and picks things up, kind of like a crane arm that you find in the games, in the little games where you pick up the plush toy or whatever, and it drops it down the slot, and you get to keep it. If you can picture that in your mind, where you use the joystick and control it. But because his father was Jewish, then it didn't come to fruition. And it wasn't designed because his father simply was Jewish. And then the Japanese, apparently, if I understood that correctly, picked up on that same design. I guess it got smuggled or something. Who knows? The point is that it was never designed or developed or put out on the market simply because his father was Jewish. Now, the key to this is also the reason why his father's not actually here now, because he did do secret work for the government in designing things, and so they didn't want that information to be gotten out to the Jews, to Israel, where they could use it and benefit from it. It's very interesting to know. So,
in that time, by the way, they were looking for people that were considered as Zionists. For them, for the government, it was considered as a crime. They were looking in his house and other Jewish people's houses for clues that there might be Zionists. Like if they saw books in Hebrew, they could arrest them.
And let me. I'm glad you said that, Iris, because I want to clarify something. That the left and the Jew haters have written a lot of propaganda. The elders of Zion, that's where a lot of this, you know, the Zionists are going to take over the world there, and the banks, the media, and all these things. Yeah, Jews are very successful. But that doesn't mean that they care about Israel. Let's keep that in mind, because all this anti-Semitism, the Muslims say it, the left says it, we're not against the Jews, we're against the Zionists. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Zionism is a biblical term. And because it's a biblical term, and I refute anyone, I've got people that I know that are ignorant, foolish in their thinking, and say, yeah, but I'm against the Zionist thing, I'm not against the Jews, but I'm against... And they speak out of ignorance. So my point is that this is why Alex's family was kept in Russia, and why so many Russian Jews were persecuted, looking for anything, like you said, Iris, in Hebrew, because if it's in Hebrew, then we might have a problem.
Right.
We're afraid they might get so smart, they might overthrow us. So anyway, Alex's mother loves him very much, and when it came time for him to join the military...
It is a duty to serve them for...
And it's the duty of every Russian to serve 3 or 4 years in the military, and only see their families once a year.
Right.
So Alex's mother wanted to keep him close to home, so she said, I'm going to pay $2,500, which was a lot of money back in the 90s.
Right.
And keep my boy close to home.
Right.
Because Alex only has one other sibling, his sister, And she apparently, in this day, is a very famous actress in Russia.
In Russia, yeah.
And your mom and dad are still in Russia.
Yeah, right. No, dad is dead.
Oh, your father's deceased. Okay. So now she's got him close to home, paid to get him in a sniper unit. So now, now they're wanting to pay money to get him out of the military.
Yeah, because the Chechen war started.
Alex actually said, "This is not my war. I have nothing to do with it."
And he was scared.
And he was
scared. He knew it was
going
to be tough.
Right, it's a tough war, and there's a lot of people that died, just like in Afghanistan, the Afghan war. So his mother, or his family, again, paid $2,500 to say that he had some kind of ailment, some kind of sickness, which got him out of the military. Now, right after that, Alex went to work for the Jewish agency in Russia. This was in the 90s. And so this rabbi came to him and said, "Alex, you're going to take a group of young people to Israel for a visit, like Taglit, I guess."
Yeah.
It's not Taglit.
Nale.
It's which is, how do you explain Nale?
We are going to make Aliyah.
Russian kids that want to come to Israel and live. And so Alex asked the rabbis, "Look, if I'm going to take these kids down, okay, how long am I going to be there? When am I coming back?"
Because it was not his first time.
Right.
It?
Oh, it wasn't your first time in Israel.
Second time.
And the rabbi looked at him and said, "You're not coming back. You're going to stay." Wow, that's wow.
So it happened in the September 94.
This conversation,
and he made Aliyah in October 94.
Wow, wow. So Alex brings all these kids that are coming home, and he comes with them.
Yes,
and he stays in Israel in 1994.
Nine months later, Alex,
under no obligation,
right,
joined the military. Now, here's the key to this. If the Israeli military saw his documents that he'd already been in the Russian military, he's not obligated to join, even more so the Israeli Defense Force.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, they actually wouldn't take him.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex hid his paperwork because he wanted to be in the army so bad. He hid his paperwork and they let him in.
Yes.
Well, brother, that's guts.
And they took him to be a...
They wanted him to be in an office, what they call here in Israel, a jobnik, which means you do office work. And sometimes that's not seen so much as a great position, but everybody has their role. Without the jobniks, then the ground guys couldn't do their job. But with that being said, he didn't want to be a jobnik. He didn't want to work behind a desk. He wanted to be a fighter. And so they put him in Givati.
After
he qualified. So, wow, that's great stuff. Now, Alex, I want to ask you, now you're in Givati, and what year was that when you got accepted in Givati, was it?
1995.
So had at this point, before this current operation, how many wars had you seen? How many times had you been actually in battle? And you know, have you been in a firefight? Have you had to shoot? Do you know if you've even had to, unfortunately, kill someone?
Not by my because what we do
play. No, I shouldn't say unfortunately.
How many melchamot bechal ayin
melchamot? In melchamot ba, yes, miftei.
In Israel, there are no...
Not exactly.
Not wars, instead, just operation.
Just operation.
Since 73, it's just operation.
Just operation.
No, but Lebanon
was war. It was on...
בזמן הסדיר, הייתי בכמה התקלויות.
איפה?
בגוש קטיף.
In Gaza.
In Gaza.
In his...
אבל הוא לא עשה פינוי. זה היה...
Okay, when he was a soldier... He had some fightings face to face, something with the Palestinians, with the Muslims,
with the Muslims.
In Gaza Street.
Wow.
In Gaza.
So.
Yes.
אבל הקרבות יקרים, כל מילואים.
Every
כל מילואים, כל מבצעים שיש, אני.
All the operation at war, they called him.
Wow.
He was there.
Wow. What rank did you get up to?
And איזה דרגה הגעת?
Wow. זה סיפור כואב.
It's a painful story.
Painful story.
עד לפני שנה הייתי רבת. היה לי עיכוב דרגה של 15 שנה.
מה?
עשיתי שטויות בסדיר.
אוגש.
ועכשיו אתה?
עכשיו, במלחמה הזאת, שטויות בסדיר הייתי בכלא.
על מה?
לא שילמו לי משכורת ואז זרקתי
וזה
סיפור.
כבר הדרגה שלך עכשיו?
תוך כדי מלחמה הזאת קיבלתי עלייה בשתי דרגות, קיבלתי סמל וסמל.
אוקיי, now he's a sergeant or something, never mind, just
a sergeant. אוקיי, so how many years did he do?
כמה שנים?
Field sergeant. כמה
שנים היית בצבא?
בסדיר? שנתיים וחצי.
Oh, it was 2 years and a half in there.
2.5 years.
As a soldier, and then every year.
You do.
כל שנה לפחות פעם אחת.
Right, you do reserves now.
לפחות פעם אחת, כי בשנות 2000 עשיתי כמה פעמים, פעמיים תעסוקה.
Okay. Every year, just at least 1 month.
Right.
It was even years that he made two times. They called him.
Ah, twice.
Yeah, twice.
Wow, wow.
מתי, when did they call you the last war? Like, מתי הם קראו לך ב...
ביום הראשון.
Yeah, on the first night. On the first night they called you.
Wow.
The first night.
Tav Shmoni.
Of every time that there was an operation.
Yes, and also...
He was one of the first guys called.
Yes, and also now, on the first night, the first day they called you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Operation.
That says a lot about you, man.
As a reserver.
Right,
the reserve is already
right.
40 years old.
Yeah, wow. But first day as a reserve, it's something.
Okay. Wow, wow. So, okay, let's, I could go off, there's a lot of questions I could ask.
I think that when you were on the sofa, he was the guy that protected you.
Yeah.
Were you in the...
Was the...
Kibbutz Sofa?
כשהיית החדירה של המנהרה לקיבוץ סופה.
You were there?
On
July 17th?
Yeah.
He was there.
I have a video from that I have on YouTube where I was with the reserve soldier.
I saw it from the bottom.
Yeah.
I saw it from the ground.
He saw it from the ground. Yeah.
Right. I was there at the pillbox.
Not the pillbox.
Not from the pillbox. I saw it from the ground.
It's a fire.
I'm not on the radio.
What happened?
Yeah. There are things that... אני מעדיף לא לספר, אני יכול לספר לכם.
אתה השתתפת ב...
אפשר להגיד שכן.
He was involved in this fight with this first tunnel issue that you were involved there.
Yeah, wow.
He was fighting there.
Wow, wow, amazing. That was some heavy, very heavy fighting. So a lot of machine, I mean, you can hear it in the video, machine gun fire, and I've never experienced anything like that in my life as an American.
The sounds were... very scary.
It was very
wasn't you afraid?
לא הרגשתי.
I just ask you if it doesn't feel
לא חושבים
being afraid when you just fight face to face with
those
he said that you don't think about
you don't
it
think
at the
about
same
it.
Time
you don't,
the
Alex.
Fear come after when you realize what
right.
you've been through.
Alex, I know what you're saying. I'm not a fighter, but when I was down there, you don't think about it. You just don't. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a male thing. I don't know. You don't think about, you know what's going on around you. You know there's a chance
you
could get shot. You know there's a mortar rounds going off. But you don't think about it. You're there to do your job, right?
So what was your mission when you came there?
Let me say this. I can also understand where he's coming from because I didn't realize until after I was leaving that kibbutz and I looked out the back window of an SUV and I saw the plumes of smoke coming up from the Gaza and the tanks, and then I saw all the personnel carrier vehicles bringing in more soldiers and more tanks coming, and the media is clearing the back where I'd been in the front. And then I realized, I don't know if you can remember, I told you several times here, I didn't realize how big this was until after I was on the outside. Amazing. I appreciate the fact that you said that, man, because a lot of people ask me if I was scared, and I'm like, being scared is a luxury emotion.
Right.
It's a luxury. I don't know how to explain that. But when you're there, you know you have a job to do, and you're ready to do it, to finish it. And brother, I'm going to tell you what. Let me tell you something, Alex. אלכס.
הפחד זה דבר טוב. שאין פחד, זה לא שומר עליך.
The fear is a good thing because it keeps on you, because you're more awake,
you're aware of your surroundings, you're right. Your senses become very acute.
It's my bodyguard.
Can, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Brother, I'm going to tell you, if I could have worn the green, if I could have been strapped on with you guys, I'd have fought with you. If Benny Gantz would throw me a gun today, I would stand with you shoulder to shoulder. And we would fight some Muslims.
Yes. Would you take him next time? תיקח אותו בפעם הבאה?
With you? Benny Gantz הבטיח לו... הבטיח לו shoulder to shoulder. גב to גב.
Wow. Anyway, so...
מה הייתה המשימה שלו?
המשימה, הגנת יישובים.
Wow.
מפני מחבלים.
Okay. Wow. His mission there was to protect the towns from the
terrorists
coming from the tunnels.
So what was it like for you? Here you are, you're on the kibbutz Sufa. You know these guys are coming out of the ground. What is the next command that you're given? When you're down there, what's the command that you're given? What do they say to you?
זה לא היה ממש ככה.
Okay, Alex, it's your time.
הבנתי את השאלה. מה הייתה התנועה הבאה אחרי שראיתי אותם יוצאים? זה היה סיפור די מורכב.
זה complicated.
זה לא היה ממש ככה כמו שזה מוצג. אני לא יכול לספר על זה. אבל תמיד כשיש מחבלים, יש פקודה אחת, להרוג אותם.
Okay, he said it was in the area. It is very complicated. It is not like it is presented, but always when terrorists are coming, there is only one order, and is to shoot them. And what did you do? מה עשית? איך?
עשיתי הכל לפי הפקודות. אני מצטער, לא, על זה אני לא מדבר.
He can't give details.
Right, of course.
You can understand.
Did he see? Let me ask you. Has he ever had the chance to see, to look the enemy in the eye? He's
Apam lo. Ze ha merchak, but ayu le gam etekleret im panim ul panim.
Not this time. It was in a distance.
Right.
But he had other times. It was eye to eye conflict.
What's that like?
איך זה מרגיש
אותו רגע? Because it's you or
him. אני יכול להגיד מה מרגישים בפעם הראשונה. שאר פעמים לא מרגישים כלום.
Wow, you can say only what you feel the first time. The other time you don't feel nothing. Okay. So, פעם הראשונה?
פחד. פחד לפגוע. זה בן אדם.
The first time you feel a fear, you said a fear, so I said, okay, I understand. You said fear to hurt the other guy,
right?
Because it's a human being. It's the first time you shoot another guy. It's not something that you do in your daily life, so
right? Wow,
it's the first time. It's shocking.
אבל אחרי זה אתה מבין מול מי אתה מתנהל, ובעצם מהפך הראשון זה היה ב-96 בגוש קטיף, ששכבתי בגן ילדים מול המון פלסטיני שניסה לפרוץ לגן עם שלושה ילדים בפנים, עם שתי גננות, וידעתי על מה מדובר, מה הם הולכים לעשות, ואז פחד הולך.
Okay, it was the first time that you had he was confronted with this foreign, this conflict, when it was in Gush Katif. Gush Katif is a village that was in Gaza, and after that it was evacuated, but at that time it was still there.
Let me say this real quick for people who don't know who Gush Katif is. It was a town that the Jewish people owned, and it was given up under the Oslo Peace Accords under Bill Clinton.
Right. And then he was in this, there was a kindergarten there, a kindergarten. He was in this kindergarten. And there were three children in the kindergarten, and he was with them in there, and the mass of Palestinian that was coming towards the kindergarten was wanted to attack it and to
they would have killed those kids.
In order to kill these kids, and they was lying there, and then he knew exactly that it's either him, us, or them. Then you don't feel the fear, and you know that you fight to kill.
התפתח באותו יום נהרגו 18 חיילים, חיילי צה"ל.
In this incident, 18 soldiers.
בכל הארץ. לא, זה היו מהומות 96, בכל הארץ.
Also there are other places in
ונהרגו המון פלסטינים.
And a lot of Palestinians also were killed. It was a day with a lot of
blood.
A lot of blood and a lot of incidents all over Israel.
Were any of those soldiers his very close friends?
האנשים שהיו איתי נהרגו כמה?
Yes,
ונפצעו כמעט כולם.
Some of them the soldiers were fighting with him were killed and almost most of them were injured in this incident.
What was it like for him to see his own comrades that were killed?
זה לא היו חברים הקרובים שלי שנהרגו, אבל חברים מיחידה. זה קשה. אני זוכר פשוט איך באתי למקום אחד ופינינו בחור וטיפלנו בו בשטח, ניסינו להחיות אותו, לא הצלחנו, החלפתי אותו במקום שלו.
He said it is very difficult. I remember like there was a guy that injured very bad and they tried to save him on the ground and they didn't make him on the spot. He just had to replace his position.
Wow.
That's it. And how does it influence your life? איך זה משפיע על החיים שלך? זאת אומרת, שאתה רואה אנשים ככה נהרגים בקרבות ועל
השקרות. אני הרבה שנים לא יכולתי לצאת מזה.
Many years you couldn't get out of it.
זה היה נורא קשה.
Get it out of his head.
איך זה השפיע עליך? ביומיום, מה הכוונה על זה?
ביומיום זה לא השפיע, אבל היו לי סיוטים.
He had nightmares.
טיפלתי את זה בעצמי.
Okay, he treated himself.
השתחררתי אחרי מילואים, התחלתי להשתחרר מזה כי זה כבר בא בסדרה, כי הייתי יוצא מהמילואים עוד ועוד ועוד ועוד, כשזה נכנס כבר לקונבר הם לא מרגישים את זה.
זאת אומרת, כשחווית את זה
כשחוויתי עוד פעם ועוד פעם.
Once he started to experience it often and often more and more in his reserve, so we just start to get used to it.
Wow, it takes a strong man.
And you don't have any choice. Let me ask you about the last operation. We saw a picture that you happened to be in the tunnels. אתה רואים, not that you had got out of the minaret.
כן, יש תמונה של מנהרה שהתגלתה בשטח, אפילו מנהרה התגלה בשטח פלסטיני, ו כשבדקו את המנהרה היא הייתה יוצאת באחד מהיישובים.
ואתה גיל?
לא, אני גיל.
אז איך
הגעת? הגענו לשם אחרי למטרה להכיר את זה.
אוקיי. He was there, this picture that is with one of those famous tunnels.
Right.
And he said that they found out a tunnel that was started in the pier was started in the Gazan area. And then he found out that it leads to the Israeli area, and so their job was to go into the tunnels in order to learn them, to know how they work, and in order to give after that instruction for destroying them.
Wow. Was he ever scared that they might? Because I know they were booby trapped. They were trapped like bombs. Set up in there, did he ever come across any of those?
המנהרה הזאת ספציפית הייתה כבר נקייה ממלכות, השאירו אותה במיוחד, פיצצו את כל החלק בעזה והשאירו חלק הזה כדי ללמוד.
He said that this specific tunnel was already clean because after they exploded all the part that was in the Gaza area, they just left the part in the Israeli area in order to learn it.
Wow.
Study it.
Wow.
So what did you find? מה למדתם?
Motorcycles. They found motorcycles.
קודם כל אני צריך להגיד כל הכבוד לחמאס. אני ממש
he said
אני מעריך את העבודה
שלי. Well done. He said, "Well done." First of all, I have to say, "Well done for the Hamas." He appreciate the building, the level of the building of the structure.
They were very sophisticated.
הם היו לוקחים פלסטינאים ונותנים להם לחפור מטרו בתל אביב.
He said, "If we would just take them, and let them dig a metro underground in Tel Aviv."
זה היה מוצלח וזה יכול להיות שזה היה פותר כמה בעיות.
Here's my question. You know, the media cries about the poor women and children in the Gaza, okay? Actually, there's a lie, a propaganda lie. They use the women and the children to blame Israel for what happens there. You know, the poor women and children are always suffering. But those women in the schools, and Americans need to know this, they teach in those schools to kill Jews. Okay. Those children know how to kill Jews, those children. And for 16 years, think about this, you gave up Gush Katif, all the times that Bibi sat down with Abu Mazen or Mahmoud Abbas, who's the head of the Palestinian Authority, this man knows that those tunnels are being built. Billions of dollars from around the world go into building those tunnels from the global community. How does that make him feel as someone that lives in this country, that fights in this military, when he sees what goes on around the world, that you're forced to negotiate with terrorists, and then the whole time, when they're playing the good guy, they're trying to make it look like they are suffering, those children are being put into those tunnels to build. Those women are putting their children in there after school, lunch breaks, all right kids, time to go in the tunnel. How does that make him feel as an Israeli? I know I've said a lot.
אוקיי, איך כישראל אתה מרגיש? אתה יודע שכל השנים האלה, במשך 16 שנה, הם ממשיכים ובונים שם את כל המערות האלו, והממשלה ידעה שבונים, והם לקחו שם ילדים קטנים כדי שיבנו את זה בכלום כסף, שיבנו את המנהרות האלו, יחד עם זה שהם גם משתמשים בהם כאלה אזרחים שם כמגנים אנושיים, הם למדים אותם בבתי הספר לישראל ישראל, ותוך כל הדבר הזה, איך אתה מרגיש?
בתור בן אדם או בתור חייל?
דם וגם.
זה שתי דברים שונים.
זה שני דברים שונים, אז
בתור חייל, מאוד חבל על מה שהם עושים כלפי ילדים, אבל החינוך שלהם מתחיל מזה. מלמדים אותם להרוג אותנו בבית ספר. ואנחנו בעיניים כובשים.
Okay. As a soldier, he said, there are two answers, a soldier and as a citizen. As a soldier, he said, they feel very sad about them, so how they use them as human shields and how they educate them in school to hate the Israelis, and they suffer and they see us as occupiers.
Right.
Occupiers.
עכשיו, כשאנחנו מדברים על ילדים, ילדים בשבילנו ובשבילם זה שתי דברים שונים.
Children for us and them is two different things.
Absolutely.
ילדים בשבילנו זה ילדים עד גיל 13 בערך 14.
For us children is until 13, 14 years old.
אצלהם ילד בן 18 זה ילד. הוא יותר חזק ממני, הוא יותר גבוה ממני, אבל הוא ילד. וכשאומרים שנהרג ילד בשטחים, אני תמיד בספק אם זה ילד כזה, או Godzilla.
He's cynical. He said for them, until 18 years old is a chance, because when they reported their child is killed in Gaza, you can never know if it's a 18 or 20 years old
right,
child.
Right, right. Listen, Alex, let me ask you, I'm going to finish this off. Alex, what do you I want to say, Alex, thank you. I apologize, we're out of time. Alex, we're going to have you back on the show. I think what you have an amazing life. I respect you as a soldier and as a citizen. God bless you. Thank you, Iris, for translating. Thank you, May, for setting this up. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Insight to Israel.
And Hershey's
for Iris.